everybody. It's Terry McDougall with another episode of Winning the Game of Work. And this is our second in a series where we're addressing the issue of workplace bullying and working for toxic bosses. So once again, we are joined by Lisa Edmondson, who was the organizer of this. She's the one that had the idea to bring all of these experts together to talk about what we can do to address this issue that unfortunately is so rampant in our workplaces and schools today. So Lisa is the coordinator of the leadership reform movement, and she also unfortunately was the target of a toxic leader, which actually caused her to leave her last role and to launch a website called Leadership Reno, which is an organization focused on renovating toxic leaders in the workplace. We also were joined by Kalyani Pardashi. She's an anti-bullying specialist. She's a multiple award-winning author of the book Unbullied. We also have Deb Falzoy. She is the founder and owner of Dignity Together. Deb has dedicated years of her life to pushing legislation to combat bullying in the workplace. And finally, we have Jo Angel Concepcion. Jo Angel is the founder of Trail, a mobile app that helps keep track of unwelcome behavior, uncomfortable situations, and overall wellness in a secure private place. So I am thrilled to be facilitating this discussion today. We've got a number of experts that we'll be interviewing over the series that Lisa has created. And so please make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss any of this great feedback. Where we're starting today is focusing on the importance of tracking your experience when you're being bullied at work. And we do talk about this today, but if you're ever in a situation where you're being scapegoated or you're being bullied, where you're in an unfair workplace situation, and maybe you're even feeling like you're being railroaded to be pushed out, I can tell you with definity that your organization is going to be tracking what they may characterize as your poor behavior. They're in many cases building a case to let you go. And if you're being railroaded or bullied or pushed into a corner or you're being treated unfairly, it's very important for you to document as well. And Jo Angel has developed the Trail app. It's spelled T-R-A-E-L. It's available on the App Store. She's going to talk to us more about that. This is Winning the Game of Work, a podcast that helps you have the happy and successful career you've dreamed of. Because being smart and hardworking just aren't enough in today's competitive workplace. I'm your host, Terry McDougall, an experienced executive coach who will teach you all the right moves so you can win the game of work. Hi, I want to welcome back my guests today, Lisa, Deb, Kalyani, and Jo Angel. And Jo Angel, I want to start off with a question for you. So I kind of addressed it in the intro, but when people are experiencing bullying behavior, it seems like documenting it is very important. And I'd love for you to talk about why you created your app and what the app does and how the app can help people who are experiencing bullying in the workplace or even bullying in the school, or I would imagine that it could even be used if somebody's in a toxic interpersonal relationship. So would you agree that your app could be used in a number of different situations?
No, absolutely. The foundation of the application was created because I'm a toxic workplace bullying survivor, very textbook boys club situation where I was definitely, I always say, whittled down to a toothpick. And it happens to everyone. And one thing I do want to mention, it's okay for people to say, this is happening to me. And that's one of the reasons why I created the app as well, because when you are looking at your notes and you're looking at everything that's going on, you kind of say, oh my gosh, like, this is really happening. This is not just me. It's not in my head. There are a number of people that are mobbing me, or you start learning these terms that are just, it's crazy that we even have them. And I don't want to limit it to the workplace, even though that is how this whole idea was born, because like you guys were just talking about, this can start at an early age. And when I was being mobbed, I looked at these quote leaders And I said to myself, they've been doing this for a really long time. They've been doing this. I bet you they were that bully on the playground from a very young age. And no one has ever held them accountable. And then they were put in leadership roles for whatever reason, but that's a whole other thing. But I always said to myself, this has been going on for way too long for them to know exactly how to completely dismantle someone, a young professional. So I highly recommend this app for anyone, and more than ever, to keep a pulse on your mental health and with everything that we're going through with the pandemic, and for those going into the workforce or graduating. It's, for me, what I've learned being in this space is the earlier you teach people to document everything or document their experiences, the better off they will be throughout their lives. I wish, and like all of us on this panel wish, that I would have been documenting a lot of things, not just things at work. And I really feel that's my number one goal, is to let everyone know that documentation goes a long way and that they can't really challenge timestamp items. So if you are going through an experience, whether it is something at school, something at work, document it all. And just the app allows you to export a report that shows, it takes a pulse on your mental health. It organizes all of your evidence and all of your journaling in one place. And you take that to a legal expert, you take it to a doctor, wherever you need it to go. And make sure that you are taking care of yourself and that you are fighting back. Because that's the only way that we are going to hold these abusers accountable, is if we fight back. And you don't want to sit there and scream at them in the middle of the office. You want to make sure you get them where it matters.
Yeah, that is a great point. JoAngel, what's the name of your app?
The name of the app is Trail, T-R-A-E-L. So you can go to trailapp.com. Or you can find it on the Apple stores and Google Play. It's $1.99 a month, US dollars, and it's $19.99 for the year. And when I was documenting everything in a notebook, my notebook was $15, but I couldn't read my handwriting. All my files were everywhere. And at the end of my time, where I had to run for my life from my experience, I said, gosh, I wish there was a button that I could just press and it has everything organized for me. And that's exactly how this app was created. So please, if you are going through any kind of tough experience, or if you just want to keep a pulse on your mental health, please download the app. And if you're not doing that, just make sure you're taking care of yourself overall.
Yeah, that's so fantastic that you developed this app, because first of all, if you're being railroaded, if you're being scapegoated as the problem rather than the whistleblower for a toxic situation, if the company or your manager is trying to get you to leave the organization or build their case, they are doing this. They are documenting things.
100%. And I'll go back to what you said earlier, HR is not your friend. And I realized that early on, and I know this sounds a little strange, but when I realized that, I was really hurt, because I was like, these people are so nice when it comes to my vacation days. They help me fill out my stuff. I go to them when I have an issue for me. But you're absolutely right. They're not your friends, and they work for the company. So if HR is documenting you, what are you documenting? Why are you letting them control the story? Jot your story down, journal every day, make sure that you protect yourself and fight back.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I really like about your app, I haven't checked it out yet, but I will, is the fact that you're encouraging people to keep track of their emotional state. Because having gone through this experience myself, I felt like a frog in the lukewarm water, where the temperature is just going up by degrees. And before you know it, you're basically boiling to death. Because a lot of times you'd say to yourself, oh, I can take it, or it was just a bad day or whatever. And I think it can be very helpful to look back over your emotional state over a period of time, because what can happen is that it can diminish to a certain point where you lose self-confidence, you start thinking that it's you. And a lot of times, bullying bosses or narcissists or both will gaslight you. They'll try to convince you that it's your fault that this has happened. And sometimes being able to look back over the course of time, we can recognize, like, no, 3 months ago before this person started, I didn't feel that way.
I have to add that I think that was one of the other aspects of JoAngel's app that I thought would be really useful, is that you can collaborate with other people. You can create some type of group that JoAngel can explain it, but you can create a group of people that are entering data about the same topic. So JoAngel, can you tell a little bit more about that functionality?
Absolutely. While I was at the last place, I created this functionality because when I was going through a really tough time, I noticed that others were going through a tough time. And I noticed that there were a couple of women at my workplace that were experiencing sexual harassment from this one manager. So that's when the idea kind of went into my head. And I said, you know, gosh, wouldn't it be great if they could just log off of one person? The only thing is that you are showing your logs to other people. Let's say you're doing it to other people. So you have to be really careful who you're sharing it with. But within the app, it's completely private. So if Deb, Lisa, and I are logging about Terry, sorry, Terry. If we're logging about Terry, they can see everything I'm putting in there. You have to be okay with that. A lot of people prefer to keep it private, but I wanted to give people the option because a lot of times we do have to stick together. And if we are painting the picture for HR and it's three of us, what are they going to say? No, this didn't happen. It's more powerful that way. And that's why I created that feature. A lot of users seem to enjoy it, but I haven't promoted it as much because I'm still obviously working on it with legal ways to let people know, hey, you are sharing this with other people, confirming that. But it is an awesome way to make sure that someone who's exhibiting disgusting behavior, for instance, in the workplace where it absolutely has no place in the workplace, that they're held accountable as well.
Kalyani, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yes, Terry. It's just something that I often speak to teen victims of bullying about. And I think this applies, especially in the workplace, because I was also bullied in the workplace twice, two different workplaces. And the one area I really want to speak to is when I was being bullied in one particular incident, this bully treated only me badly, not anyone else. Everyone else said, oh my gosh, she's so sweet. She's so wonderful, you know? And I'm thinking, okay, what's wrong with me? Why am I not seeing the sweetness and the wonderfulness and all of that stuff? But then in hindsight, I realized that I was the only person she felt threatened by. And that's why she chose to pick on me. And the reason she felt threatened by me was because she was still studying. I'd already completed my education. I'm a CPA. I was on my way working towards my articles to earn my CPA. I worked in an Afrikaans speaking environment. I could speak the language fluently. She couldn't speak that language. And because of my qualifications, I was given the more creme de la creme audits, and she was taken off those audits. But it was the boss's decision. It had nothing to do with me. They just wanted to portray that they had a great team of auditors who were qualified to go on these audits. And she took it very personally. And the stuff she would do, she would literally undermine my work, go in and edit my reports, and literally right there as she had prepared it for me, like I'm incapable of preparing a report, and yell at me in front of clients, all of that stuff. But for me, the hardest thing to accept was, okay, how come everyone thinks she's so nice, and why am I not seeing it? So I just want to remind anyone who's listening to this that if you're targeted by a bully, recognize you're powerful enough to trigger that insecurity in them. That's why they attack you. There's nothing wrong with you as a person. Please remember that you're actually very, very powerful because you're making that other person feel unsettled. So reframe that. You're not the victim. You're powerful.
That is such a great point. It's not about you. It's actually about them. And so often their power comes from us starting to think like, oh, well, maybe if I do something different, they won't bully me anymore. And actually that just causes us to be more and more under their control. So I want to make sure that we have enough time for Deb to talk about what she's been doing to try to get some laws passed to address this so that organizations can be held more responsible for the environment in which their employees are working.
Yeah, so I started working on legislation. My background is more in marketing and communications. And back in 2007, I had my own workplace bullying situation that follows exactly what we've been talking about. Going to HR, realizing they weren't going to do anything. This insecure person trying to stifle people who were the high performers. And I have worked on a couple of different bills since then. And we're now working on what's called the Workplace Psychological Safety Act, which builds on some of the previous legislation. I'm actually not a lawyer, but having worked on the other two bills, I have a pretty good sense of the issues. I mean, it's tough to even define workplace bullying, but then there's also issues of, there's a piece of legislation that requires proof of intent, which we don't agree with, which Kalyani has touched on. And that same piece of legislation talking about, they require just a proof of health harm, where a second piece said, no, as long as there's damage to the work environment, as long as a hostile work environment is created, then you can have a legal claim, which is in line with some Supreme Court decisions with sexual harassment law. So we're building on those two ideas, removing intent, having the legal claim be around the creation of a toxic work environment, but also adding the fact that when we look at even anti-discrimination law, this is an issue that, first of all, is wrapped around, there's so much mistreatment is intertwined with implicit bias. So we want to say that the mistreatment itself is the problem so that people don't have to prove that discriminatory intent piece of it, which is what the courts moved towards in the 80s and 90s. And we are basically also trying to, when we looked at a study of anti-discrimination law, there's that level of betrayal from the employer when they don't do anything and they actually also retaliate in some cases or vilify, make up lies, those false accusations to push the employee out. But then when the government doesn't step in, there's this other layer of betrayal where it says, basically it says that society doesn't care enough about our well-being. And we know that this is like a collective issue. Like JoAngel said, you know, when we can speak up collectively, we have more power. So we've actually added some things into this new piece of legislation, which we're still finalizing, that captures that, which would require companies to report their data on not just psychological abuse complaints, but also things like attrition rates, things like salary data, de-identified wage and salary data around race and gender and other protected groups, to really get at like the collective nature of this, and to also have a neutral third party be able to come in when the employee doesn't trust their own organization, to be able to look at what's happening and do a neutral investigation and to take swift action. Because yeah, unfortunately, this is something that we have to regulate because so many people are suffering from essentially insecurities of bosses and their need for power and control. And it's just the level of damage that this does to people. It's anything ranging from anxiety and clinical depression all the way. We've heard multiple stories about suicide. So this can really just pull apart people's lives. And it just unfortunately is something that we have to regulate. So it's called the Workplace Psychological Safety Act. And we have a website at workplacepsychologicalsafetyact.org. And under this umbrella of this group we've started called End Workplace Abuse at endworkplaceabuse.com, which really also gets at ways, I think there's about 24 other workers' rights bills that we're trying to encourage people to take action around all across the country. And different states have different issues that they're pushing, but all the way from like getting rid of the subminimum wage to making sure people have paid family medical leave, all sorts of different issues that are essentially forms of abuse that are employers misusing their power. And so we want to help people have more rights. We want to encourage workers to fight more collectively for their rights and work with other groups that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, this abuse definitely has a ripple effect in our society for sure. So Lisa, I think that you had something you wanted to share.
Yeah. So one of the things that I found fascinating when I left my organization, I reached out to a lawyer after the fact because I had to sign a no compete clause, basically.
Or NDA.
NDA. Yes. NDA. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I was asking my lawyer was, why isn't this retaliation? And he said, and this was something I didn't know about the legal aspect, he said, well, for it to have been considered bullying, technically, you would have had to, under current law, you would have had to been bullied for one of the classes that's currently protected under law. And so I wasn't being bullied because I was a female or white or, you know, anything like that. So I didn't have a case for bullying officially, for harassment, which meant my retaliation case didn't have any merit either. So the retaliation would have had to also been falling into enter one of those categories. So that was a hard lesson that I learned after the fact that there's no law. Like, people can harass you at work as long as you're not a protected class.
You know, the thing that has come to mind is under sexual harassment that you've got either quid pro quo or hostile environment. And this whole idea of hostile environment has come to mind several times during this conversation. But to your point, Lisa, not around sexual harassment, right? It's just a hostile environment, period. You know, and it's not because you're a woman or a man that somebody's harassing you sexually. It's just they're harassing you, period. And that should be as wrong as anything. So the work that Deb is doing and trying to get laws on the books is excellent. It's great. It's good that you're doing that. I do have one more question before we close. I wasn't familiar with the term mobbing, and an idea comes to mind when I hear that, but is there somebody here that can define mobbing and how it fits into the whole environment of workplace bullying?
I'll try to define that. I mean, there are different definitions out there. I think some people define it more as the group bullying. So when the bully, typically a boss, starts to control the narrative and starts to have these closed door conversations with people where they're lying about somebody or excluding them, and that's considered mobbing. For our bill, we're considering mobbing to be on the organizational level. So anyone who represents the organization, whether that be HR, the legal department, maybe the diversity office even, or anyone who's an employer representative, we're calling that mobbing, where they're complicit in the behavior of the individual bully, and it becomes this more group dynamic.
So they're enabling it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That there's not an even playing field. And obviously part of the big issue here is just a power differential when we're dealing with a boss or even a peer who is in with the powers that be, and they're able to get away with things that the individual employee can't counteract.
That was another hard lesson that I had to learn as well, is that I know HR represents the company and that they're going to do what's best for the company. But to be on a phone call with HR while my bully is basically telling false information and HR tolerates it and then tells me to be careful what I say, I mean, I was flabbergasted. I was thinking, okay, there's no one here that can help me. So I love that Deb is passionately following this through, because it seems the only tool that is really going to hold people accountable, hold organizations accountable, because it's not that a CEO says, oh yeah, we tolerate it or anything like that. But if they're not aware of it, that is also kind of a form of tolerance, you know? So I feel like they should be aware of it, just due to employee surveys and attrition and that kind of thing.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that part of the reason why they tolerate it is because they're not sure how to create an environment that creates more effective leaders. Lisa, I'll let you have the last word since you're the organizer. But Kalyani, what would you like to share as your last word of wisdom?
There's a reason why you have the feelings that you have. Please do not use logic to explain it away. Trust how you feel.
Love it. Thank you so much. How about you, Deb?
I think what's important with this is really understanding how many of our systems are designed to reinforce power. And whether that's our workplaces, our legal system, our government, even in trying to get legislation passed, it's going to say in terms of the collective action, one of the things that we're realizing is that the systems are designed to not work in a lot of cases. So we're really trying to focus on the power of the media and holding people accountable, holding employers accountable. So on a collective level, that's my parting words. And on an individual level, just yeah, really getting to know like our own values and how they're different than the bullies, I think is such a key piece in detaching from this, but also healing from it. Healing can be very complicated, but I think that's a key component to it, is really understanding what we individually value.
Great point. Joe Angel, how about you?
Lately, I've been saying this, and I know Deb has seen this in some of my messaging, but I have been really driving home the fact that we have to remind ourselves of how hard we've worked, that we are professionals, and that we've come so far in our careers to not let anyone treat us like crap. So own who you are, own everything that you've done in your career, and just keep working hard and protect yourself. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not good at what you do. You wouldn't be where you are if you didn't. And that's exactly what I had to constantly tell myself before I left the situation that I was in. So keep fighting and document everything.
Fantastic. Lisa, you want to wrap us up?
Yeah, I love that. It's ironic because, like I said, we all kind of ended up here as a result of being bullied ourselves. And, you know, how you deal with that while it's happening and after it's happening can be completely different. But I think that what I love about this group is that we all took different approaches to dealing with it after the fact, but we used our personal experiences as the motivation to help others. And so I think that's a beautiful thing because it's happening across the board. People are suffering, but there are solutions out there. And I invite everyone to know that you're not alone. There are people fighting the fight from various different angles. In fact, like I said, I call myself the amalgamator. So if you went to my website, leadershipreno.com, I have put links to all of these other people's websites and their tools and so forth out there as well. So if you can't remember each separate tool that we've talked about today, go to my website and I will point you to them because they are doing some great work out there and there is help.
Great. And what I would add to that is that you are worthy. You are on earth for a reason. Believe in that and don't allow yourself to be gaslit by anybody. Believe in your own inner wisdom. So I want to thank all of the guests today. It's been a sincere pleasure to be your facilitator. And for the listeners, stay tuned because we've got a whole series of these planned. Lisa has recruited some fantastic guests who are experts on how to win at the game of work. So thanks so much to all the guests.
Thanks for listening to Winning the Game of Work. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, share, and subscribe. If you'd like to get in touch, go to the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. And now get out there and start winning the game of work. I'm cheering you on.